You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to another edition of MCM Radio. I am Jimmy Morris, at JMorrisMCM on Twitter, MusicCityMiracles.com, at TitansMCM. It has been a few days since we last recorded, so a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks. We won't bore you with all the back to the Jacksonville game and that disaster, all that. What happened yesterday, Titans lost in L.A., 17-14, in a game where I thought the defense played really, really well. I mean, I said on Twitter, and I did, on DraftKings, I had all of the Justin Herbert stacks because I thought Justin Herbert was going to throw for 400 yards easily. I thought the only thing that was going to stop Justin Herbert for throwing for 400 yards was the fact that the Chargers might be up something like, you know, 28-3 at halftime, and so they may not have to throw in the second half. Obviously, that's not the way that this game played out. The Titans, for the second straight year, found a way to rally in SoFi Stadium. You know, last year they went up there and beat the Rams in a game where some suggested they should sit players because there was no way they were going to win. But they found a way to go up there and win, or go out there and win. And yesterday, the defense played really well, held the Chargers to 17 points. The last drive, obviously, I mean, you know, you can't let a guy get behind you right there. But, I mean, Herbert made a great throw. You know, Greg Maven, he had a really good play earlier in the game, but Greg Maven on Mike Williams, it's just a mismatch. Like, and again, when you're at corner 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever they're on, you're going to find yourself in situations where you're just the guy that you're lined up against is just better than you. I mean, that's just how, you know, the numbers work. So, you know, I thought overall, like I said, the defense played really well. The offense is still a disaster. You know, they were able to score twice, which, I mean, I don't even know how they do that sometimes. But, you know, like I said, the defense rallied, played well. If they can get some guys back, I mean, all the guys they were missing yesterday, still missing Danico Autry, obviously. Zach Cunningham, his practice window opened last week, but he was not activated for this game. I assume he'll be back for the Texans game. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. You didn't have Amani Hooker. You didn't have Christian Fulton. You know, the Titans have a bit of a short week this week with that Texans game being on Christmas Eve on Saturday. So we'll see how many of these guys are able to get back. But I think, you know, we've seen the defense play well when they're limited. If we get everybody back, then I think you'll see them come out and be something similar to the defense we saw early in the season, which it looked like could really win some games for the Titans. Now to the offense. Listen, you know, we finally saw Dylan Raiden's at left tackle. It's, you know, a year and whatever in, to almost 2 years in at this point. He's played in one game at left tackle before yesterday. It was that Thursday night game against the 49ers last year where he played pretty well. Vrabel said for the game that the plan was to play Dennis Daly for the first half, to play Dylan Raiden for the first quarter, to play Dylan Raiden for the second quarter, and then to see where it goes from there. All right, now Dylan Raiden gets hurt, of course, because everybody on the Titans always gets hurt. And so you're stuck with Dennis Daly for the rest of the game. I still don't understand. I don't understand how there's not somebody better out there than Dennis Daly. Like, he is the worst left tackle I have ever watched play in all the years that I've been watching football. And I watched Will Svitek. Dennis Daly is worse than him. That's how bad it is with Dennis Daly. And, like, listen, it's a travesty, a Travis Shamockery, if you remember that commercial, that it took this long for them to give Raiden's a shot over there. Because, you know, I mean, I don't care. Like, we've been saying it for weeks. It's you know, beating the dead horse at this point, but like, there has to be a better option. People, oh, it could get worse. I mean, sure, maybe it could get worse, but it could get better. It could get better. And so I don't know. We don't know what we would have seen with ratings out there. Unfortunately, like I said, he gets hurt like everybody else. So we didn't get to see that. Now, I mean, here's the thing that really took off. I mean, because what else are you going to say about that game, right? You have a limited defense that played well. You have a bad offensive line. You have no offensive weapons. Well, you have a couple of offensive weapons. You have Chegg, who, again, made a big play. You got some of that stuff. But over, you're severely lacking in weapons. You have Ryan Tannehill, who gets his ankle rolled up on the first series, gets carted to the locker room, comes back in. All right? I mean, you can't, there's nothing else left to say about Tannehill's toughness. I mean, Vrabel talked about that after the game. Like, we all know that. We all respect that about him. You know, that's great. There's so much about the play where he takes the sack before Randy Bullock misses the field goal. Okay. Now, I said on Twitter that I was going to give the most correct and reasonable take on Ryan Tannehill, and here it is. Okay. You cannot play quarterback effectively if your left tackle can't at least get a hand on that guy that comes in and makes the sack on third down. You can't do it. You cannot do it. And I got a little back and forth with Corey Curtis. Really respect Corey Curtis. Think he does a great job. He sent me the picture that I posted later that said the ball needs to come out. All right, so you've got a guy open in the flat right there. Here's the thing, though. We don't know what read that is, right? I mean, Ryan Tannehill has a progression he's going through. Ryan Tannehill has to be able to assume that he can get to his second read before he gets hit. Like, he can't play quarterback in the NFL if he can't do it. It's just not possible. It's not possible. So everybody wants to kill Tannehill for that. That's fine. You have your Tannehill bias. That's fine. Well, here's what we know about Ryan Tannehill. We know, and Mike Vrabel said this last year at the end of the year, we need to be great around him. And that's not any less true now than it was then. It's probably more true when he can't move. Because before, at least he could get out of the pocket when things happen. When he's got a bum ankle, he can't move. Okay? So all these people that want to kill him for that, like, come on. He's got to be able to at least get to his second read before he gets hit. Dennis Daly completely whiffs on that guy. Doesn't touch him at all. You can't play quarterback like that. I don't know what read the guy in the flat was. Somebody on Twitter said a hot route, but it's not a hot route because a hot route is identified when you see a blitzer. So if you got a corner blitzing, you know that you need to get the ball to the guy where the corner just blitzed from, right? You don't have a hot route when you have a down defensive lineman rushing. Like, that's just a play. There's nothing hot about that. I mean, I guess maybe Dennis Daly could yell when he gets beat. He probably lost his voice by that point if you want to be yelling when he gets beat. But, like, you can't expect Tannehill to be able to make a play there. Like, if that's not – if the guy in the flat is not read two or higher, you can't expect him to get there. He didn't have time. He did not have time. So, listen, I get it. Tannehill is limited. We know that. All right? And so, again – these things we get into on Twitter are funny because it's like, oh, Ryan Tannehill's great. Oh, Ryan Tannehill's terrible. Well, no, Ryan Tannehill's a good quarterback. He's somewhere in the middle. If you're great around him, he can win games for you. If you're not, he's not going to. But, I mean, I would argue that I don't care who the quarterback is there. What do you want them to do? I mean, could they feel the pressure? I do think Tannehill lacks in awareness sometimes. I do think he doesn't feel things sometimes. But, again, I've never played quarterback in the NFL. I don't know what he's supposed to feel and not feel. I think we should respect him for staying in the pocket. How many quarterbacks have you seen that see ghosts when they get hit a couple times? Well, he's been getting crushed all year from the left side because Dennis Daly's terrible. Aaron Brewer's not good in pass protection. Like, he's been getting crushed from over there all year, and he's still at least standing in the pocket trying to make throws. I got a guy that's blaming Tannehill on that first drive where he gets hurt. Oh, he never throws the ball away. Okay. Well, but I mean, again, like, do you want him? Does he need to be 1-2-3 ball stone away if it's not there? I don't think he could have even gotten to 3 on the sack play. But, like, again, all of that to say, Ryan Tannehill is a good NFL quarterback. He is not going to elevate everybody around him. If you're good around him, you can win games. They're not good around him right now. They're not good on the offensive line. They're not good at receiver. Like, it's just, it's not going to work. Like, it's not going to work the way it's currently constructed. And we can blame Ryan Tannehill if we want. It's not Ryan Tannehill's fault. I'll tell you whose fault it is. Number one, it's Todd Daly's. Todd Daly. I'm just combining Dennis Daly and Todd Downing at this point. Why not? It's Todd Downing's fault. We have twice yesterday where the Titans have 3rd-and-2 and Derrick Henry's on the sideline. 3rd-and-2, Derrick Henry's on the sideline. That's ridiculous. Against one of the worst run defenses in the league, it is ridiculous to not have Derrick Henry on the field on 3rd-and-2. Both times, I would argue, you hand it to him twice if you need to. If he doesn't get it on 3rd-down, you hand it to him again on 4th-down. Because you can't pass. We know that. We know that. So those 2 times. And then there's the play, there's the series where Derrick Henry gets 16 yards, and then they drop back to pass on the next play. Like, you're finally at a point where Derrick Henry is establishing himself. He is ready to take over this football game. And you drop back to pass after he has just physically punished the Chargers defense. Like, what are you doing? I have a lot of issues with Todd Downing. I just think he has no idea how to call a football game. And this is not about play design, about individual plays, what plays are in the script, plays that aren't in the script or on the page, whatever you want to say. I don't think he has any idea how to identify the flow of a game and call his offense with the way that game is going. I think he's terrible at it. I think he has it's so, so bad. We've seen so many times where Derrick Henry rips off a big run, and it's like, okay, now this is what you do. This is what the Titans want to do. This is their identity. You hand the ball to Derrick Henry. He punishes the defense. He makes them tired. He runs over them, and then you can establish that. We do that on a play. They do that on a play. Hand it to him. Gets a big gain. Drop back to pass. We get a penalty. We get a sack. I don't care. You get into that, and now it's 2nd-and-15. And then he wants to run because, I mean, why not? If it's 2nd-and-15, 2nd-and-20, 2nd-and-25, run the ball. That makes sense, right? But that's the whole thing. Like, he just has no flow, no feel for the game, no idea how to, like, punish a defense when you have them on their heels. And that's my whole deal with the 3rd-and-2. That's my thing with last week in the Jaguars game where you call the King Cat play where Derrick Henry fumbles. I mean, yeah, Derrick Henry's got to catch that snap. That's a stupid play call right there. It's the whole thing with the ball earlier in the year where they tried to get it to Malik Willis and he fumbled. Again, yes, handoffs need to be executed. It's a stupid play call in that scenario. That's the issue. That's my issue with that. Okay, so he's issue number one. If Mike Vrabel can Todd Downing at the end of this year, then I have serious questions about Mike Vrabel. Then I think Mike Vrabel is in the same category as Mike Mularkey was when he would not fire Terry Robiskie. I know that's big. I know Mike Vrabel won the coach of the year. I think Mike Vrabel has done a fantastic job coaching this football team. I think he is not a good decision maker when it comes to his staff. Todd Downing should not have been back this year. If Todd Downing is back next year, then that's a real, real problem. Like, that needs to be one of those things that Amy Armstrong needs to call him in her office and say, look, Mike, you've done a great job. This team has been ravaged by injuries. You've had them ready to play pretty much every week when nobody expected you to be in games. But you cannot continue with Todd Downing as your offensive coordinator. If you will not fire him, I will fire you. That's what she should do. I would be perfectly fine with her doing that. And if Mike Vrabel doesn't see it, then I've got serious questions about his judgment. Then there's Dennis Daly. We've already talked about that. We've already talked about how much of a disaster that is. Again, I don't understand. I don't understand why they haven't tried anything else. I don't understand why they're not. I mean, there is a player on a practice squad in the NFL that is better than Dennis Daly. I mean, I don't understand what your argument against that could be. We talked about the PFF thing from a week or two ago where this is like the last 8 years, the worst left tackles. Dennis Daly was on there once for the Panther season, once for this season. He's gotten worse probably since that graphic. So it's inexcusable to not be able to find something better than him. Part of that's on John Robinson, right? And that's why John Robinson's not here anymore, because you don't have a viable option. Maybe you do. Maybe Dylan Radins is that. We don't know now, because the only time they gave him a chance finally to play, he got hurt. The injuries are another thing. I mean, there's somebody getting hurt on every single play. Last year, most players used in the NFL history, you can attribute that to bad luck once. You can't twice. It's not bad luck twice. It's just not. There has to be something going on in strength and conditioning. You got to evaluate that. Maybe there's not. Maybe it is just bad luck twice. I would say the odds. Somebody, I think Titans Rossi posted something about the odds of using that many players in 1 year and the odds of doing it 2 years in a row. It was some astronomical number. Look into that, guys. Look into that. Let's see if we can figure something out going on here, because we got guys dropping more so than any other team 2 years in a row. Something needs to be addressed there. They need to figure it out. All right, that's plenty for today. Thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends. It's a great podcast. If I do say so myself, sometimes I just rant like this. Sometimes we'll talk more about things. You know how it goes. All right, again, on Twitter @JMorrisMCM, @TitansMCM. MuseumMiracles.com. We've got a little bit of a condensed week this week heading into the Texans game, so we'll try to fire off an episode every day, keep you updated on what's going on. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.